We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on an ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection, and the majority of the time, she will choose life. But she can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside her. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or visit preborn.com.
Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio.
I love talking about the things of God because of truth and the biblical worldview.
The U.S. Constitution obligates our government to preserve and protect the rights that our founders recognize come from God, our Creator, not our government. I believe that Scripture in the Bible is very clear that God is the one that raised up each of you, and God has allowed us to be brought here to this specific moment in time.
This is Jenna Ellis in the Morning.
Good morning. It is Wednesday, May 1st. Happy first day of May. And if you were like me, you were up late last night watching the unfolding of the utter lawlessness and cultural Marxism being played out right before our eyes at Columbia University on one side of the country, and also UCLA on the other side of the country, and seeing all of these clashes of student protesters is what they're calling them, but really it's just domestic terrorism. I mean, that's what it is, and they are specifically targeting and intentionally attempting to terrorize Jewish students, which should never be tolerated by any administration. That's not how we do things in this country. It's utterly wrong. And to watch the video of the SWAT team, the NYPD SWAT team, actually going in to Hamilton Hall, this building at Columbia University, late last night, to go in and remove the protesters, the pro-terrorist protesters that were occupying the building, and allegedly there were even some janitors that were being held hostage. I mean, that just utterly ridiculous. To watch all of this reminds me that we are in a presidential election year, because the last time we saw this type of violence and utter lawlessness was the summer of 2020 and the summer of love and violence of the BLM riots. And what we are poised to see, of course, and what I think is the inevitable trajectory of this, and we're going to have Steve Dace on it in the next segment, and I'm very interested in his take and biblical worldview of all of this. But what I think is the inevitable trajectory here is that you're going to see a continual rise in an escalation of tension. And because the university and law enforcement are not actually willing to do their job, which is to stop the violence, arrest the criminal perpetrators, and actually stop them from continuing to protest. I mean, the NYPD hauled a few of these students away in like little zip ties on buses, and then they're turning right around and just bringing them back to campus, and this is continuing. I mean, it's not like everything stopped as of last night. So the tensions are continuing to escalate, and UCLA, it took, apparently, according to reports, 3 hours for police to respond, and this was only after students said, you know, if they're not going to come, some of the Jewish students, if they're not going to come and police aren't going to respond to this, then we'll give them a reason to come. And there is video that I was watching just moments ago, and this is a headline from I-24 News, that brawl breaks out as counter-protesters attempt to dismantle UCLA encampment. And so there were lines that were drawn between, they call them pro-Palestinian, but this is pro-Hamas, pro-terror, protest encampment, and then the counter-protesters, or the Jewish victims, of course, and the people who were pro-Israel, arrived to try to dismantle the demonstration, and literally a line was drawn. And law enforcement isn't doing anything. And we remember, as it was not that long ago, the summer of 2020 and the BLM riots, and the culmination of the worldview of the left, that they used the death of George Floyd to essentially make a martyr out of his life and his tragic death. And it didn't matter that later, of course, the toxicology report came out and there was, you know, all kinds of stuff in his system. And it didn't matter that, you know, what the training of the officer Derek Chauvin was, that it looked like he was actually trying to stop George Floyd from, you know, from continuing. It didn't matter the facts. It didn't matter anything that came out. All that mattered was that the left had their martyr. And where I see this going is that inevitably there's going to be violence that will likely result in someone's death. And I hope that this is not the case, but this is just where I see this going based on 4 years ago. And it's not going to be a Jewish student. It'll likely be somebody who, you know, in self-defense or, but again, the facts and circumstances won't matter. And you're going to have the left, the cultural Marxists, that will get their martyr. And they will use whatever the circumstance is, doesn't matter the facts, doesn't matter what actually happened, they'll use whatever the instance is to justify their ongoing rage. And they will attempt, for everyone who is pro-Israel, for everyone who stood up like at the press conference yesterday in the House, and we have a couple of clips from this that we're going to play here in a minute, which was great. And I think that Speaker Mike Johnson's leadership in this instance has been phenomenal. He's doing the right thing. Congress is taking action in the House by saying if the administrators aren't doing anything, we're going to not doing the right thing, and they're not protecting Jewish students. They're obligated to do that. There may be violations of the Civil Rights Act. I think there may be violations of federal law when you look at the statute that defines what genocide is, which is causing violence or harm. I mean, it doesn't even have to be a death, but harm against a member of a certain group that is protected, in this case, Jewish students. Why isn't the Justice Department interested in this? They're interested in going after, you know, the pro-lifers and the Christians and the Catholics outside of abortion clinics. That's what they're focused on. But all of this is just going to justify whatever incident is coming, is going to justify, in their view, and in their manipulation of the narrative, their cause. And we as Christians, as truth seekers, as truth tellers, have to be on guard to watch for that and to not allow the narrative of the left to prevail. Now, obviously, we want justice. We want law and order. We want a well-ordered society. And this is absolutely wrong. Not only is it wrong for these protesters to be targeting Jewish students, making them feel literally unsafe on campus, for the administrators to not be doing anything, for the police officers that their sworn duty is to serve and protect to not respond, and then for law enforcement and the justice system, the prosecutors, to just let them go. Now the students are actually asking and demanding. They're not even asking anymore. They're demanding amnesty for protesting. They want to be able to do whatever they want, tear down law and order in the name of pro-Palestine, pro-Hamas, and they want to be able to not suffer any consequences for it. Now, I guarantee you, if a Jewish student or a pro-Israel student, if there is any sort of incident that results in, even if it is clear self-defense, that student or individual, or if it's a faculty member that's either Jewish or pro-Israel, even if it's self-defense, it won't matter. They will be prosecuted to the full extent of the law, and this will dominate the headlines as we head into an election year. And meanwhile, the Biden administration is considering allowing refugees from Gaza to resettle in the United States. This is the great replacement. The Biden administration is coming from CBS. The Biden administration is considering bringing certain Palestinians to the U.S. as refugees, a move that would offer a permanent safe haven to some of those fleeing war-torn Gaza. And remember, this is CBS, and so this is their version of it. In recent weeks, the documents show senior officials across several federal U.S. agencies have discussed the practicality of different options to resettle Palestinians from Gaza who have immediate family members who are American citizens or permanent residents. The Washington Examiner says this: Palestinian refugees would have to meet stringent qualifications, wink, wink, nod, nod, right, including eligibility, medical, and security screenings, then provide proof that they're fleeing due to persecution, such as of their nationality, religion, or political views, according to the report. Palestinians could opt to select the Israeli government as their persecutor. Can you believe that? Setting up an awkward situation. Yeah, to say it mildly, Washington Examiner, setting up an awkward situation for the allied U.S. government. So Palestinians literally can opt to select the Israeli government as their persecutor. This is why we are seeing the unfolding of cultural Marxism. Why? Because cultural Marxism sets up this class, not of right and wrong, law and order, not of laws that apply to everyone, and then breach of those laws are prosecuted and justice is implemented. Cultural Marxism, by definition, is a system that sets up the oppressors versus the oppressed. And here, the entire point of why the universities and these, and some reports are suggesting that these are actually professional agitators, is what they're calling them. So it's not just the students, but they have largely been captured by this notion of pro-Hamas and cultural Marxism. They are setting up this entire conversation to be Israel as the oppressor, not just historically, but currently, and that Gaza and the Palestinians as a group are the oppressed. And so they are setting up this narrative culturally to suggest that no matter what Israel does to defend itself, it doesn't matter in their view, because remember, facts don't matter to the left, that it doesn't matter that anything that happened on October 7th, it doesn't matter that Hamas literally came in and attacked Israel. Because that, in their view of cultural Marxism, was justified, because you're rising up in a social justice warrior fashion to go against your oppressor. And so this entire narrative, and we need to understand this in order to respond to it with truth and the biblical worldview that says that we are not in a system of oppressor versus oppressed, but rather of right and wrong. That is how they're framing this entire argument. This is why the news headlines, no matter what Israel does to defend itself, now even the United States State Department is suggesting that Israel is committing war crimes. This is why there are reports that the ICC, the International Criminal Court, may go after some of the Israeli leadership. This is all based on the worldview of cultural Marxism. And listen to this, the biography section of one of these students at Columbia University for her dissertation. This was an actual student who was apparently the spokesperson for one of these protest groups. My dissertation is on fantasies of limitless energy in the transatlantic romantic imagination from 1760 to 1860. Okay. My goal is to write a prehistory of metabolic rift, Marx's term for the disruption of energy circuits caused by industrialization under capitalism. I'm particularly interested in theories of the imagination and poetry as interpreted through a Marxian lens in order to update and purpose as an alternative to historic ideological critiques of the Romantic imagination. Prior to joining Columbia, I worked as a political strategist for leftist and progressive causes, and to remain active in the higher education labor movement. These are trained Marxists. They know what they're doing. This should not surprise us that we are seeing the reinvention and another iteration of cultural Marxism like we saw with BLM, but we cannot allow the left to harness the narrative and to make us back down from speaking truth and standing for Israel. We'll be right back with more here on Jenna Ellis in the Morning. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show, and that's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you, we need to save them. That's why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on us. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or $140, helps to rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't. Together, you and I can save lives. Just dial #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
Welcome back to Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio.
The failure of Columbia University to address the pro-Hamas mob is an appalling lack of leadership. Now we are witnessing copycat anti-Israel protests pop up at universities across the country. These radical protests threatening violence against Jews are anything but organic. It appears global elites are funding these hateful protests and pop-up tent cities. These are the same groups that fund other radical agendas, including diminishing America's energy production and pushing soft-on-crime policies that harm the American people. The House Oversight Committee will follow the money trail, expose it to the American people, and seek to hold bad actors funding hate accountable.
That was House Oversight Committee Chairman James Comer yesterday in that press conference. And I had promised in the last segment we would play a few of those clips, and then got into the rant on the rise of and the next iteration of cultural Marxism. So we at least got what I think was one of the best clips from that, which is what we just played for you. But let's welcome in Steve Dace, who is host of the Steve Dace Show on The Blaze, and one of the most prolific biblical worldview expositors, I believe, in our time. And Steve, I always appreciate you joining to give us a perspective on the biblical worldview contrasted in this instance, I think, to cultural Marxism, because what we're seeing on college campuses is this furtherance of the leftist goal to frame this as oppressor versus oppressed. And they have already set up this narrative that Israel is the oppressor and that the Palestinians are the oppressed. And I read in the last segment this headline that the Biden administration is allowing refugees from Gaza to resettle in the United States that allow them to opt or select the Israeli government as their persecutor. What say you?
I am sure those quote-unquote refugees will be as tightly screened as all the previous refugees were. Just as an aside, Jenna, since 9/11, we have imported about 3.7 million quote-unquote refugees from countries dominated by Islamic fascism. That's incredible. That would be by and large, that by itself would be, I think, the 35th most populous state in the Union, if they were their own state, number one. Let's say we screened 99% of that 3.6 million, that we screened them perfectly. We didn't. But let's just assume for the last 25 years that we did, that we screened them perfectly. 1% of them would be, 3,600? It took only 20 people to pull off 9/11. So stop. I want your audience to just think of that math for a second. Well, you're being sold a bunch of bleeding heart and everything else and bastardizations of the scriptures that Jesus and Mary and Joseph were refugees. No, they weren't. All right. Egypt was a vassal state of Rome. All right. You're not a refugee if you move because the laws are better in Florida than in California. You're not a refugee. You just moved to another state in the same country. All right. So before you get bombarded with all that propaganda and your pastor who didn't say a cotton picking word when Roe versus Wade was overturned, but he's going to make sure to genuflect to the spirit of the age about bringing in more refugees. Do that math. That's 3.6 million. If we nailed 99% of them are just people that want to escape the same squalor, the same evil that we're fighting. God bless them. They want to do that like our ancestors did. But one, we didn't screen them all. We all know we didn't. But let's say we did 99% right and we were only wrong on 1%. That's potentially 3,600 militants, terrorists, just out there roaming the country to do whatever when it only took 20 to pull off 9/11.
So the real number, of course, is much larger than that.
Correct.
And that's where... Of course. And so that's where we're headed. And I think we're seeing, Steve, not only a culmination of this, the globalist elites agenda, but how the Biden administration, especially over the last 4 years, with how many refugees have come in just under the Biden administration, and they're not screening them. And we saw them in the pullout from Afghanistan, and we saw so many that were not vetted, that instead of being rehomed in a country that was closer to them, you know, they all came here. Then we're seeing now how they're opening this to the Gazan refugees and the Palestinians that can specifically name the Israeli government as their protester. I mean, this is, and then with the...
Well, this all ties together, as you're pointing out. Yes.
Yeah. And so where do we, I mean, what I see happening is that we are coming to a point, a critical point, where America as we know it is not going to exist because there won't be enough people who understand what the American experiment and our values are actually about. Because we are the great replacement is happening, and it's not with our own Americans. It's with all of these other foreigners that are literally have the terrorist cultural Marxist ideology.
Correct. So what's the solution in this situation? This is going to sound harsh, but there's plenty of harsh discipline in all 66 books of the scripture. I mean, I saw we had a headline at the Blaze today, the United Methodist Church is basically formally going to abandon whatever was left of its biblical reverence today. I mean, that's fulfillment of Revelation 2:5. You know, Jesus says to the church, hey, return back to your former things, otherwise I will come to you and take away your lampstand. All right? So for a culture that's underfathered and overmothered, what I'm about to say is going to sound harsh and cruel. But my favorite episode of The Waltons, when I was forced to watch that growing up, is when Jim Bob wanted to pick up smoking, Jenna. So he went down to the grocery store and started smoking cigarettes. Grandpa Zebedee Walton wanted to send him a message about smoking. So when Grandpa Zebediah Walton found out that he was smoking, he went down to the general store and bought all the cigarettes, took Jim Bob up to the top of Walton's Mountain, and made him smoke every freaking one until he puked, all right? Sending him a message. You want to smoke? Here, smoke them all. Jim Bob never smoked another cigarette again on the Waltons, all right? So that's the kind of discipline that a father or a male figure provides that we're not used to in this over-nurturing, over-mothered culture. So here's what the solution in this situation is. Nothing. This is Romans 1. We have Marxists fighting Nazis. These are both demonic ideologies. They were both all these seeds were imported, planted, watered, bred, nurtured at these very universities in these very blue states with these very blue voters and their very blue donors. I don't want to hear anything more from any more secular left-wing Jews who are very wealthy and funded all these universities, and they're now just suddenly shocked, Jenna. They're just suddenly shocked to see that all their money went to all these Nazis and everything else. It's been going there for decades, bro. It's just when it was going after the people on the right you politically hate, you didn't see it, all right? Do not be deceived. God will not be mocked. We will always reap what we sow. take yes for an answer. This is a political gift horse. Don't look it in the mouth. Make them all, let them all endure. Don't get in the way of God's justice. You know, we had some great friends in our small group years ago, and their oldest son had gotten involved in substance abuse when his younger brother, their youngest son, was dying of cancer, and he kind of got left behind. And they felt bad for that, you know, and the years they missed with him, and felt it was their fault. And, you know, for a while, they felt responsibility. But after a while, he's a grown man, and he has to take responsibility. He's 23, 24 years old, still selling drugs. He's in a jail cell. One night, they get a call during small group that they've got to go bail him out. We barricaded the door and wouldn't let him go. Said, nope, he's got to hit rock bottom. He's got to eat some pig pods before prodigal boy comes back. It's on him now. Right? It's not about what happened when he was 14. He's a grown man. He's responsible for his own actions. That young man today, since we did that, by the way, and forced him to spend several days in that jail cell by himself in another state, he's a pastor today, Jenna. He hit rock bottom. Took God's daddy, his heavenly daddy, took him over his knee and spanked him. He received that discipline. He now preaches the word of God now. Get out of the way of divine justice. I wouldn't send any cops in there any more than I'd send any more soldiers into dispute feuds between Islamic jihadists in Middle Eastern lands. No, this is the ideology they wanted. It's the ideology they chose. It's exactly what they funded. They are receiving their reward in full. They have been given over to their own depraved minds. Allow the divine justice to happen. Do not get in the way. Otherwise, you'll end up doing what Western Europe did. Western Europe tamed some of these instincts just enough so that they can be taken over by them, which is exactly where Western Europe is now. No, the American people need to see this. We as Americans have forgotten it takes things like lives, fortune, sacred honors, suffering, perseverance, endurance to actually secure these freedoms and liberties from generation to generation. Let's see a little suffering. Let's see a little. Let's make it all up on the nightly news. Get out of the way and let the American people actually see and be force-fed like Jim Bob was on the top of Walton's Mountain. Everything that they have funded, everything we have permitted, what goes on in these blue states. Make everybody see and suffer it all. That's what I say.
Preach it. And I'm talking to Steve Dace, who's host of the Steve Dace Show on The Blaze. And the Bible says, do not withhold discipline from a child. If you strike him with a rod, he will not die. If you strike him with a rod, you will save his soul from Sheol and or hell, literally. And we hope that we will still have a country and have a country to save. But you mentioned also something I think really important to underscore, Steve, that we have been in an overly coddled, matronly society. And we this is part of the rise of feminism and the weakening of the American man so that we don't have the strong male figures, so that we are selling this narrative that having children is a choice and we're commoditizing children and they exist just for the adult's purpose and pleasure, like a plant or a decoration in your house. I mean, all of this then, and we're going to get into this in the next segment, that the U.S. birth rate and fertility is at record lows, according to the CDC. But this is also part of the leftist plan, because if you live in a society that doesn't have strong families, that isn't replacing our own population with our own children that have been passed on our values and understand the Judeo-Christian worldview, then that we are being replaced literally by all of these people that are not assimilating. They're here to infiltrate and infiltrate not just physically, but with their own worldview as well. And so and I'm not advocating for a patriarchy in the classic sense of what the leftist feminist would suggest, you know, not some despotism or authoritarianism, but discipline and strong male figure, strong leadership. I think we have entirely lost that.
Correct. I can promise you the only thing that will be worse than the patriarchy will be the matriarchy. I can promise you that.
Well said.
But yeah, I mean, that is... That there is a time and a place where nurturing needs to happen. There is a time and a place. You know, I grew up in a home where my stepdad often went too far. And I thank God for my mom. that often stepped in and shielded me when I was little and couldn't defend myself from him as much as she possibly could while she was trying to defend herself. This is the complementarian notion of the sexes. The Bible is the first religious text in human history that actually gives a unique origin to the creation of women on their own. All right, but there is a quality in the value of both. Moses literally writes, he created them, male and female, in his image, he created them. But that doesn't mean we're the same. We might be equal, but we're not the same. And there is a responsibility structure. Men often get wrong what headship means. Headship does not mean authority. God is the authority. There's no room for any other. What headship means is responsibility. And men have different responsibilities, and they have at times primary responsibilities that women do not have. One of them is discipline. That doesn't mean, by the way, that men cannot be simple and take discipline too far and be abusive, because I've lived through it. We can. But what we've done now as a society has gone so far the other way, where any form of discipline, any form of any masculine exertion whatsoever, and I just can't even with it, all right? This, every now and then, people need to be reminded of the order of things. Every now and then, a bully needs to taste the blood, his own blood from his nose on the lip of his mouth. Every now and then, someone needs taken out behind the woodshed and reminded, in the grand scheme of things, there's always a bigger fish and to come correct. You know, I've always told our daughters, don't ever marry a guy who doesn't love Jesus and hasn't gotten his butt kicked at least once, either literally or figuratively by life, because if that's the case, he'll never lead when you want him to. He'll be afraid if I take a punch, I can't get back up, or he'll be too arrogant. He'll think he can do whatever he wants because he's the baddest, you know what, out there. You need a man who's been in a fight, who's taken a punch and has learned some valuable lessons from that. And what we have in our culture right now is a lot of boys who can shave. We have a lot of sperm donors. We don't have a lot of men. And so that's why I go back to what I said before. This may sound harsh, and that's okay. It may be. Harsh sometimes is good. You know, storming beaches in Normandy, harsh, good. Discipline is good, okay? So the question is what to do about this. Make people suffer. Make them suffer the consequences of their own actions and roll tape and let the American people see it. Wake up. Wake up. Your civilization is being stolen from you. We have funded the importation of these ideologies. We defeated the Soviet Union over there just to bring it over here. All right? We defeated Islamic Jihad over there just to bring it over here. You need to see this. All right? And there's no easy way out. We need to see this suffering. We need to see what we've brought in. We need to see what's being taught in these universities, what's being seeded in these universities, because that's the only way that we may finally do something about it.
Well said. Steve Dace, always so appreciate your insights and your direct and precision commentary. And I just hope that we discipline our society before we lose it and it is too late. We'll be right back with more here on Jenna Ellis in the Morning.
Welcome back to Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Welcome back, and I hope that you are seeing why the biblical worldview matters in every single segment of philosophy and culture and current events. This is why we have to understand what is happening from a truthful lens, because if you just take the protests on college campuses for themselves and you take the conflict in the Middle East, and you know that's a different topic, you take this next headline that we're going to discuss, the U.S. birth and fertility rates drop to record lows, and you isolate those as if it's not all coming from the same false worldview that, as Steve Dace rightly pointed out, has been imported into America under our own watch. We have intentionally done this through the Biden administration and even through some Republicans who don't have the biblical worldview and have different priorities. Then you won't see how all of this connects together, and you may even, as a Christian, respond to some of the false ideologies and embrace them, at least in part, not knowing why they are false. So, for example, if you are someone who says, well, it doesn't matter if I participate in a family and you embrace this egalitarian view that the family is not God's design and purpose, and it doesn't matter if you get married and have kids, it doesn't matter whether we still honor our father and mother, all of those things, and you embrace this secular notion that it doesn't matter. And I've seen a lot of, unfortunately, Christian college students in particular, who, you know, the women want to have careers instead of understanding ministry. And if you are single, then you should be looking for a spouse. You should be looking to engage in a family, God's design, and you should be in ministry. You shouldn't just want to climb the corporate ladder and buy into all of these false notions. And you may not see that this is actually a secular, antithetical worldview to the biblical worldview. But it's all part and parcel of the same thing, which is to push us further from God's design and to play in, however tertiary or however primarily, into the dismantling of a society that was built on the Judeo-Christian worldview. And that's what so many of our young people are doing today, as the U.S. birth and fertility rates are dropping to record lows, according to a CDC report. This coming from Catholic News Agency, provisional data published by the CDC this week, this was last week, showed that the fertility rate in the United States hit a record low, and the total number of births in the country was the lowest it's been in decades. Listen to these statistics. According to the report, slightly fewer than 3.6 million babies were born in 2023, or 54.4 births per 1,000 women aged 15 through 44. This is a 2% decline in total births and a 3% decline in births per 1,000 women when compared with just the previous year. So the total fertility rate, which estimates how many children an average woman would have over the course of her life based on the yearly data, was just over 1.6 births per woman, which was a 2% decline from the previous year. 1.6 is not going to then continue to populate the United States at the same rate. Now, contrast that to the stats that Steve Dace just gave us with how many people in the last 20 years, and especially the last 4 years, have been imported under the guise of refugee status or the quote-unquote newcomers that are populating the United States. This is not just about physical opportunities for domestic terrorism, which that's a concern. This is an intentional infiltration of replacement ideology, so that we no longer, as America, are Judeo-Christian in our worldview, but that we are importing all of the cultural Marxism that we have always fought as Americans against. So joining me now is Walker Wildman, who is the vice president here at the American Family Association, and brought this article to my attention. So, Walker, this really, I think, is a much bigger story than just the statistics within this report. I mean, this goes to a great replacement theory of Americans and parents who invest our values in our children, so that over the next even 5 or 10 years, we're seeing a massive shift in ideology and especially the voting preferences of the majority of so-called Americans.
Yeah, this is, you know, the replacement theory has been trotted down and run down and attempted to be debunked by the media and the left as a non-existent theory. But the replacement strategy is very much alive. This is a real thing. And anybody who says otherwise just doesn't want us to pay attention to it. But here's what's happening. For the last 40 to 50 years, we've been ragging people who've had kids. We've been saying that kids are a nuisance, kids are too much work, kids cost too much money, you should just take your contraception pill, you should go get an abortion, or you should do a Plan B pill over the counter. But this whole idea of having kids, it's antiquated. Kids are luxury items now. If you want them, you can have them. If you don't, you don't have to. And what has that led to? That's led to a 1.6 replacement rate, which is isn't even at replacement levels. You have to be over 2 to be at replacement levels. That's math 101. So we're at a 1.6 birth rate, and it's continuing to trend down and has been trending down in recent decades. We're at the lowest birth rate on record since they started measuring this. So we've got a major problem on our hands, and not just from a moral standpoint or an ideological standpoint. Of course, that's very important because what we're doing, as Steve said, is we're importing foreign ideologies that don't love America, and we're not having as many kids of our own that do love America. So the math just doesn't work out there. But also from a financial standpoint, who's going to be the workers in 40 years? Like, who's going to be the workforce in 40 years if we're not even having more than 2 kids or 1 kid per household? So this is very, very problematic from a moral and fiscal standpoint in America. And our nation's leaders are going to have to address this at some point very soon.
Yeah, well, this affects and infects everything, because as we're seeing, and one of the things that the Trump administration did that was excellent was trying to get a lot of the manufacturing back to America, because we have, as we're importing these ideologies that are against the biblical worldview, we are exporting a lot of our labor. And that whole process is simply serving to undermine America's security, our ability to stand on our own and not be dependent on other foreign countries. I mean, this affects and infects so many other areas. And yet, as you mentioned, Walker, our leaders do need to address this. Where are the Republicans on this? Because the response from the Biden administration is that he's all for this. I mean, the Biden administration are the ones that are openly saying they're going to bring in Gazan refugees after they've had the Afghan refugees. They're bringing in Gazan Palestinian refugees that can literally select the Israeli government as their persecutor as a reason to come to this country. I mean, what kind of ideology do we think we're importing? So he's responded already. But where are the Republican or the conservative leadership on this?
Yeah, well, our leadership in Congress is very weak-kneed, and we've seen that in recent months. It's very, very sad and very unfortunate. And also, unfortunately, President Trump doesn't see through the lens that you and I see through. He's a businessman. He's transactional. But this whole moral debate is really foreign to him. And now sometimes he does surround himself with people who understand this. But right now, he doesn't have people around him that understand this moral dilemma that we're in. You can't be hosting the log cabin Republicans and promoting transgender Bruce Jenner, but then say we need men and women to get married so we can have babies in our country. I mean, the two just don't go together. So there's a disconnect with the Republican Party. But if they want to own up to this and they really want to face it head on, they're going to have to start speaking about these issues in very direct terms, just like Steve Dace did. I mean, we can't be the Republican Party can't be squirmy on this abortion issue and act as if it's an issue that we've got to straddle the fence on. I mean, this is we're participating. Our society is participating in mass slaughter of babies. But we don't talk about it like that when we're talking with the media. We talk about it in these very bland and vanilla terms, instead of talking about it as to the reality. So we've got to frame the Democrats as the most anti-woman party that has ever existed in American politics. I mean, they are the most anti-woman. When you think about it, they're killing the young baby girls in the womb, and then they're mutilating them when they're teenagers. I mean, they're attacking women at every turn. And then they're going after their sports and their privacy and their bodily autonomy with the Title IX changes. So Democrats are the most anti-woman party that has ever existed in American politics, and Republicans need to frame it as such. And also, this needs to be framed as a national security issue, because it is. How can we have an America in 100 years if we're not having babies? I mean, this just isn't going to work out. And you can't say, well, we're just going to import a bunch of immigrants. Well, that doesn't work. That doesn't work. There's a reason that God created us to procreate. He didn't create nations so that they could import other nationals to fill their seats and pay their taxes. That just doesn't work out. And these people that we're importing do not fundamentally agree with our value system. So that's why we have to incentivize and encourage people to get married. And then when you get married, you have kids and you build and train productive citizens that help society flourish.
So well said. Walker Wildman, who's the vice president here at the American Family Association, and this is also why for those Americans who do have kids, it's incumbent upon us to train up our own children and do not give them to the government to train. I mean, this is the other half of the Biden administration's view on the family when they talk about how children belong to society, like you know, the Maoist regime and, you know, some of these other communist parties that literally take kids from their parents, indoctrinate them and build them up to be warriors and soldiers for their own ideological causes. That's exactly what American universities are doing. And we're seeing that being played out on college campuses from Columbia to UCLA and everywhere in between, because Americans are ceding in large part and just and abdicating parental discipleship to the state, to these Marxist indoctrinators. And so it's not even just a matter of not importing this. It's a matter of not making it homegrown either. And so this is where, again, we have to have a comprehensive biblical worldview and apply it, because we can't, if all we're focused on is, you know, don't have the refugees come in and all of these things, but we're not also simultaneously focused on discipleship and training up our own children in the way they should go, then are we really surprised when we have Republicans in Washington that don't have a biblical worldview, that weren't trained up and discipled in that way, that we don't have the best Christians to vote for in every single election from state and local all the way to federal and president? And I think you're absolutely right, Walker, that, you know, Trump has this whole America first, I mean, as literally his campaign slogan, but there's not a worldview behind that. It is very purely populist and transactional and business, and that has some overlap with the Christian worldview, but we need to go further than that, and we need to pray that if he is in the White House in 2024, that he will again surround himself with people who are willing to say, not just to have access, but are willing to say, we need to go further than this, and we need to not borrow the false ideology of the left, because you are absolutely right that that two contrary positions cannot coexist when they are mutually exclusive. That's just basic logic.
Yeah, this the way the left has operated is the left theoretically is not having their own kids. Now that's a broad statement, and that's not technically true with every circumstance. But broadly speaking, the left movement is not having babies, and here's why: they're either homosexual, they're either transgender, or they're heterosexual, but they don't really believe in this whole procreation thing in the Bible. So that's the left, right? They're very fruitless in their deeds. That's biblical as well. And so the good news for the Christian is that over the long haul, we can take this country back if we follow the Genesis 2 biblical mandate of getting married and having children, and really training our children that having children, having a family, is a very beautiful thing, and hard work is a good thing. So these are values that we can entrench in our children and really train them in, that over the long haul, I really do think we can take this country back. But this is going to be a long fight, Jenna. This is what I remind people often. Our country didn't get in this place overnight, and it's not going to take us 24 hours to get out of it. This is a decade-long ideological battle for the heart and soul of our country, and it's going to be hand-to-hand combat. I mean, this is very intense warfare that we're engaging in, but we have to do it because it's the right thing to do.
Absolutely, and this isn't just a matter of saying, well, as long as we vote in November for the best of the options that are presented, then we've discharged our responsibility, we've fulfilled everything in the civic engagement sector that we're called to as Christians. No, this is about, as Walker said, this is an ideological battle that we have to meet every opportunity that God gives us with the truth, with the biblical worldview, and discipleship. As I've continued to say, discipleship is the answer. We have to fulfill the Great Commission by training up disciples of Jesus Christ in our homes, in our societies, in everywhere, so that we can perpetuate the biblical worldview. You can always reach me and my team, Jenna at AFR.net.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
We'd like to thank our sponsors, including Preborn. Preborn has rescued over 200,000 babies from abortion, and every day their network clinics rescue 200 babies' lives. Will you join Preborn in loving and supporting young moms in crisis? Save a life today. Go to preborn.com.